Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into another edition of The Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. A little bit warmer today than it was yesterday. Don't give me that crazy look. It's a little bit warmer, slightly. We'll take what we can get.
It's still a minus in front of the number. If there's a minus under the number, it's irrelevant.
Currently, it's minus?
Well, it was minus earlier.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, we got above zero today. Give us a little bit of credit, Christopher Tubbs. We'll take what we can get. Full show tonight. Tomorrow is going to be my last show of the week. Steve Thompson will be in for me the rest of the week on Thursday and Friday. And then reminder that tomorrow is the final Inside Twins at 6 p.m. And so we will start the late show tomorrow at 6:30. But I wanted to start the show tonight. Remembering back to a year ago and the names that we should always remember, Paul Elmstrand, Matthew Ruge, and Adam Finseth. They were the first responders that were shot and killed in Burnsville. And I start there tonight because those individuals are heroes in our community that we should never forget. And when thinking about that situation from a year ago, I can't help but feel that same exact feeling that I felt a year ago when that occurred. Sat here, knew about what had transpired, and just being overcome with sadness that this happened. That members of our community, heroes, had been ambushed, right, by someone evil that meant no good and took them away from their families. Tragic and unfortunate. So they should never, ever be forgotten. And I know that this is the one-year anniversary, and I send my condolences and my heart and love to everybody out there, their families impacted. And we're actually going to have a guest on a little bit later because there is going to be a charity fundraiser taking place later this week, remembering them and raising some more money. But that is just something that I'm going to always remember where I was when you hear about what transpired and also the first time that you come onto the radio and you talk about it. When you are in my shoes or our shoes, anybody at this radio station, you get a chance to laugh about a lot of different things, right? You get a chance to vent and be frustrated about a lot of different things. You get a chance to clap and cheer and go to your favorite sporting events. You get opportunities to go to cons. You get opportunities to do a lot of different things. You get an opportunity to be a part of fundraisers. And you raise money and have great intentions to help out children and different nonprofits and stuff like that, whatever. But when you get hit with a story like this, it puts you in a bad mood. It puts you in a bad place. It's super tragic, and it just makes you sad. I don't think that anybody out there would disagree with those sentiments. When you see people that are super young have their lives just taken from them in this way. It bothers me to no end. Chris, I mean, you've been here. You've produced shows here and at other stations.
Mm-hmm.
News is always breaking, okay? Literally, we were on the show yesterday, and we're talking about the plane incident that occurred from left here and ended up in Toronto.
Yeah.
And so thankful that all 80 people walked away, you know, with their lives. Okay. Not to say that no one got harmed, because people did have to go to the hospital. But that's an event that you'll look at, has to be extremely scary. The images are extremely scary. But this specific thing hits so close to home because it is home.
When you hear the word ambush, there's no way that you can look at that word and think that it's anything but a negative. When I hear the word ambush, I think that it's a premeditated action in order to harm somebody outside of a, you know, surprise birthday party or something. But you hear that, and where people's lives are being taken just for the very fact that they were doing their job. And with my wife working in law enforcement, it's scary. It's scary when I hear that, because that could be her coworkers. Though we went to an event about a year ago, like after it happened, and it wasn't a Burnsville event, but we had people from Burnsville that were there, and it just shakes you.
Yep.
Because you see them as husbands, as fathers, as friends, as, you know, sons, as members of their community, and you're like, all because one person decided that they had evil on their mind that day. And those people's lives, those families, and the communities are forever hurting.
And I think that that has to unequivocally, without question, has to be the scariest part of that specific job. Because when you're talking about protecting and serving, when you're talking about as a first responder trying to go save lives, you know, people are firefighters now. All they want to do is help people.
Yeah.
The scariest thing is to know that there are people out there that mean harm to you, don't like you for whatever weird reason.
They're prejudging you based on the very fact that that's your occupation.
And you can't see that coming. There's no way for you to have any alerts or know that you're walking into a dangerous situation like this. Very similar situation with Jamal Mitchell, the Minneapolis police officer that, remember, he had the situation in South Minneapolis, and he ended up tragically being killed. So, you know, when you look at it, and I say and utilize the word heroes, that's not overstating it. That is an apt and I think a good description of what these people do and who they are, just because you don't know when you are in danger. I guess you could essentially say that they're always in danger.
Yeah, well, for first responders and, you know, law enforcement, to me, I would think you go into everything knowing that your job, regardless of who the individual is, you want to help them protect and serve. It's literally right there for people to read. But at the same time, I don't know how you balance protecting and serving and, you know, exposing yourself to a certain extent, all the while trying to be cautious and protecting yourself. And I know there's training and everything that goes on, but that would just be a very hard line to try and ride between. You have to go out there. You couldn't go out there with the intent that, okay, well, I'm going to help somebody, but there are conditions on this. No, you go out and help people, and it's a risk that you take, unfortunately, with it. And it sucks. It's awful when people do things like that.
There's another layer to this story, though, that's still ongoing that I want to address on the other side of a break. If people want to react, 651-461-9226, you can text, you can call. Because I wanted to start the show remembering these individuals and bringing up the story, because you can't bring it up enough to honor their lives and what they meant to our community. But there's something that we should continue to pay attention to with regards to the story. We'll get to that next here on the other side of a break on The Lake Show.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Last year, more than 10,000 people mourned and attended the funeral in Burnsville for the fallen officers and medic, according to the Minnesota Star Tribune. And they reported at the time that the ceremony was perhaps the largest law enforcement memorial service in state history. I love how people have rallied around the story, have supported people in that specific industry, in those families, and all of those police officers and the fire departments and those first responders. The other part to the story, though, that I'm going to be paying attention to because we still haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet, is how it's going to play out with the shooter's girlfriend, okay? Because she admitted that she was the one that bought the guns. Because remember, the killer, okay, was not supposed to have access to firearms.
Correct, yes.
And she bought guns for the boyfriend, which he used to kill these three heroes.
Did I remember correctly, too, that didn't she call because
it was a domestic abuse call. It was a domestic abuse call.
Okay,
that's the reason why they were there in the first place.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. Sorry, I didn't mean to like – I was just, as you were saying, she purchased the guns for him because he was restricted. I thought I remember that she was the one that had called because there was a
And that's why they were there in the first place. Right. Now, prosecutors have recommended a sentence of at least 37 months for her after she pleaded guilty in U.S. District Court in St. Paul to two charges of straw purchasing. Now, a judge is going to determine the length of her punishment, okay, following a pre-sentence investigation. This is what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to even jump to try to make it seem as though I have an understanding of the length of time that she should be, you know what I'm saying? Like the length of time that she should be punished for. I'm not going to jump to that because I don't know.
We got to know all the facts.
But in this instance, when you hear 37 months, I just, as a human being, you're like, okay, that seemed extremely light.
It seems very light.
Now, do I think she's going to get more than that? I kind of question it because she, you know, she wasn't the person that – she wasn't the killer.
She wasn't the fired. She didn't have the – she didn't purchase them with the intent that he was going to use them in this manner.
Regardless, it doesn't make it any less tragic.
No, it doesn't.
Which we all agree on that. But the reason why I'm so fixated on that aspect is I am curious how that part is going to play out. And the reason why I say I'm so fixated on it is because when her sentence comes – there's going to be another grieving. Like, the families have to...
It's going to come up all over again.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So we're talking about multiple instances in which you have to deal with that trauma. Because, of course, families are dealing with it, and it's hitting home today. Right?
Yeah, because you can heal, but the anniversary of the incident
is always going to open up those wounds. It's always
going
to open up the wound. But when that happens and when, you know, her sentence comes down, there will always be people, regardless of who they are, that will say it wasn't enough. There'll always be people that will say it was too much, right? That she didn't intend this, that, the other. The reality is this. Regardless of whether we agree or disagree, whatever the sentence ends up being, there's one thing that we all know. It won't bring those loved individuals back. Those families will have to deal with that grief for the rest of their lives. They'll have to miss their loved one for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that we always have to remember.
I think, too, if you're a member of the family and you bring this back up, there's nobody to be held accountable for the deaths at this point. The shooter can't. Now, she purchased these guns for the individual because they were unable to purchase them for themselves. I don't know how that falls into it, if that's aiding and abetting. Like, I don't know how that's classified. But I feel like there's got to be some liability because she knew that this individual, for whatever reason, was prohibited from owning a firearm. And if you go out and you purchase something for somebody knowing that there's a reason why they are forbidden to own that, I mean, it's not like somebody having bad credit and you're putting them on your phone plan. This is completely, completely different. You're buying somebody a weapon. So I feel like there's
absolutely 100%.
There has to be some sort of accountability. And even though she wasn't the one that pulled the trigger, I feel like there's some culpability here for her.
Absolutely.
Knowing that he couldn't do that and she did that for him.
Absolutely. There's no question there. Let's get to a couple of these texts. One from the 612. It says, good job, man. Well, I appreciate that we're talking about this, of course. This from the 651. As a volunteer firefighter, I appreciate the topic. It takes a different kind of individual to face what we do daily. I am proud to serve my community. And let me just say this. I am so happy that you are serving us. I really, and I mean that to the person that text. They say on a lighter note, I don't know what this part about is. Something about Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah, because last night we were talking about SNL. I remember seeing Kevin Costner, and I'm like, I could not remember who was next to Kevin Costner. Okay. It didn't make sense.
That threw me off. The Kevin Costner and Cher part, that kind of threw me off.
They're P1.
Yeah, exactly. And they go on to say, I listen to your program regularly. Keep up the great work. Your show is a breath of fresh air in the toxic environment that, unfortunately, we live in nowadays. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that.
Thank you so much. This one from the 507, it says he wasn't allowed to have guns. No excuses. Yeah. No.
Yeah. We're not making excuses.
We're saying that to me, when I look at this, this is, and I'm not sure that the charges are exactly the same, but follow me for a second.
Okay.
Remember when we had the young man in Michigan that was at the school, and remember, he went and he shot fellow classmates at school.
Yes.
And remember, they tracked down the parents, and they arrested them, and then they ended up getting charges, too. I'm not saying it's 100% the same thing, okay? I actually think with
Ethan Crumbly and James and Jennifer Crumbly.
Yes. So they bought this kid this weapon when they shouldn't have bought this kid this weapon, knowing that he had issues. Right? They knew he had issues. They bought him this weapon anyway. I actually, in my opinion, and it doesn't mean that everybody's got to agree with me or that anybody's got to agree with me. I actually think that this is worse. And follow me for a second. I feel like it's a little bit, at least worse in my mind, because she knew that this gentleman that she was dating was restricted from having firearms.
Yes. She is an adult buying it for another adult who has a record. And for the record, the Crumbleys got 10 to 15 years. First parents to be convicted in a U.S. mass shooting. So, I mean, if you're talking 10 to 15, I think that's fair. 37 months just seems, it smells bad.
And texters, we understand. We know that straw purchasing is against the law. We're not advocating for it. Just stay with us for a second. We're all on the same page here. It's just a bad situation, a really bad situation, which I want to see how it is going to play out. Because what do we talk about in this country all the time? We want justice. We want justice. Okay, we want justice for people that are with us, and we want justice for people that are no longer with us. That's all that anybody wants. Now, this text, it says from the 612, the guy that made the straw purchase in the West 7th Street Park shooting only got 2 years. That was the incident over downtown St. Paul, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It says he is probably walking free now. He had purchased 33 handguns. From Fleet Farm in 3 months. Well, listen, I'll say this. And I think that we can, because I think they're all agreeing on this topic. I don't think there's much room for disagreement here. That the topic of straw purchase buying needs to be scrutinized still, and we still need to hand out harsh punishments for that when it happens.
Absolutely. There needs to be major culpability attached to being a straw buyer.
Yep.
I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather with meteorologist Chris Schaefer from WCCO Television. But I got an in-studio guest who's got a very unique story. Well, I wouldn't even necessarily call it unique, because I think it's probably happened to many people out there, but it's great to have him in studio to talk about his own personal life story and also promote Heart Health Month, which is taking place this February. The entire month, it's Heart Health Month. His name is Ryan Harrison. He's a business teacher at Rosemont High School. Stay tuned. Listen to his story coming up next year on The Lick Show.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the first guest of the evening here on The Lick Show joining me in studio is a gentleman that has a story that you guys got to hear about. His name is Ryan Harrison. He's a teacher at Rosemont High School, and he's got a remarkable story that we'll dive into. And the reason why he's on the show, number one, is we're happy that he's still with us. We talk about losing loved ones and value people in our community. He is a valued person in our community. He is a teacher, and he had a situation back on December the 10th of 2023 where he suffered a massive heart attack. But he is going to tell us all about his story and what happened on that day and just kind of how he's giving back and trying to bring awareness to Heart Health Month, which is the entire month of February. I mean, we actually have a mutual friend in Tina Rexing, and he is promoting a cookie that he is doing with Tina to promote awareness. Because everybody knows this. Tina's been on my show. I do stuff with her, too, where I have a cookie that supports Bolder Options. She lost her brother Carlos to a heart incident a few years back. And so Ryan Harrison, he joins us in studio here on The Lake Show to talk about his situation. First off, Ryan, happy to have you in studio. First time, I'm assuming, on WCCO Radio. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So my name's Ryan Harrison. I'm a teacher at Rosemont High School. I teach business, marketing, accounting. Also a DECA advisor there. I've been doing that for about 25 plus-ish years.
Okay.
Also involved in coaching. I've coached girls golf for about 15 years. I've also coached a lot of hockey and baseball, too, throughout the time.
So. Okay. All right. All right. So that's great information for us to know about. Take us to Sunday, December the 10th of 2023.
Yeah, a day that I'll never forget, even though I don't remember much, ironically. So we were headed down to – my son plays hockey, and I was coaching his team. It was my son, my wife, and myself. We hopped in the car, headed down to Owatonna to go play an ice hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
Played the game, and everything. And I leave that part out of it because the brain has protected me. So I'll go back and tell you what I found out about afterwards.
Yep.
But the game's over. We go back home, and as I'm walking out of the rink, I put my jacket in the back of the car. I press the start button in my car, and I have a Widowmaker, and I collapse. And so this is the part that I don't know, but I'm rephrasing. So if I might have screwed it up, because I'm still not 100%. I still don't know 100%.
Yeah,
I'm not,
it's all good. And some
of
the stuff is kind of like, it's like secondhand. Like people are kind of taking you through everything.
Yeah. So my my son.
So you collapse at that point.
Yes. So I was in the car, and I had the seatbelt on and everything. And then so my son, very heroically, mind you, he was 15 at the time.
Mm.
Called 911, flagged down, help, flagged down this person, and the good Lord was there. By chance, there just happened to be this woman who was dropping a Subway sub off, as the story goes.
And still at the rink?
Still at the rink in the parking lot of the Four Seasons Arena at Steele County Fairgrounds in Owatonna. And she just happened to be a nurse.
Oh, my gosh.
And she performed CPR. They used the AED, all that stuff.
Mm.
I then was transported to Owatonna Hospital. And they then wanted to transfer to Mayo. And as the story I've been told is that the docs at Owatonna were on the phone with Mayo. They wanted to fly the helicopter to get me. They had stabilized me, but they weren't able to because of the weather that night.
Yep.
And so they sent an ambulance back and forth. I went down to – then they brought me to Mayo. In Mayo, they put a stent in for the blockage. And then – because I had a heart attack. So I had the Widowmaker and I had – an electrical dysfunction.
For people that aren't aware of what a Widowmaker is, is there a way to explain it, or give a small description?
It's probably the worst possible heart attack one could have.
Okay,
it's called a Widowmaker for that reason.
Yeah.
And so that was so. And again, the heart attack, which was the Widowmaker, probably triggered the electrical dysfunction, which created the misfunction, which created the cardiac arrest. Because a heart attack and a cardiac arrest are two different things, and a lot of people combine them together. Because the heart attack, it's usually caused by a blockage. A cardiac arrest is usually electrical. So I had both kind of happen at the same time. So they got me to Mayo. They stabilized me. They put a stent in, and then I believe they were going to do the Impella, but they couldn't do an Impella, for whatever reason. And then they went to go do an ECMO. And ECMO, I can't remember what it stood for, but it's pretty much life support.
Okay.
But it allows it kind of takes the work off of the heart, and it basically, allows your heart to rest while it does the work per se.
So and assist you. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And so they did that and they got that, got me stabilized there. And then along the way after that surgery, I had a clot form.
Okay.
And they didn't know where the clot was. They actually kind of had to go down and do, exploratory surgery, mm-hmm. In a sense, to go get this clot. And it was – I didn't realize until after it was all said and done how risky this surgery was because I was out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of this. And they did the surgery. They found it. And that's about where I start remembering the first stuff is when I came out of that surgery.
Yeah.
And
man, you went through such a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you're here. And just to be clear to the listening audience, when you are describing all of this, this is going back and talking to people and getting the kind of the play by play, if you will, because when we first were talking, everybody out there listening, Ryan says, from the moment that you press start on the car and you just kind of go out of it and you have the Widowmaker or the massive, attack, the next thing you know, it's like 5 days later and you are waking up in Mayo, right?
Yeah, I don't even really I vaguely remember the drive down to Owatonna. I don't remember the game. When you get your clothes back and everything, I had my game card in there and I took copious notes like I do every single game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was with it and cognizant the whole time. So, I think the brain just protects you. And I vaguely remember even the game the night before. We were in Chaska the night before and I vaguely remember. So the brain really protected me.
Yeah. Wow. We're talking to Ryan Harrison, teacher at Rosemont High School here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. So you finally, just come to what, 4 or 5 days later?
I believe it was 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
And then, as you're talking to the people at Mayo and just like what was the first thing that you thought about? Like when they're actually telling you and giving you that play by play. And was your family in the room when you came to? Or
yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, my family was there the whole time.
Yep.
My parents flew up from Texas, so I mean, like it was they were all there. The first thing that kind of came through that I remember that came through my mind was adjective.
It's like you're looking. Yeah. You probably looked around the room like, whoa, what happened?
Where am I? That was what I first remember saying. And the amazing vascular surgeon, Dr. Kohlglaser. Sorry if I mispronounce her name. But I remember looking at her and saying, "Am I going to be all right?" And she was very matter of fact, and you know, and it was a very risky thing. And I remember, like, I'm not going to accept that answer. I'm going to look over to the right, and there was a nurse or a doc over to the right, and like, I'm going to be okay. And they're like, we're going to take good care of you. And I said, okay, I'm going to pay attention to you and that type of stuff. So yeah, and I've been told that when I first came out of it. So the first time, because they would reduce the drugs to see if you were, you know, cognizant and all that stuff. I said, I got to do subnotes. And they're all like, wait, we've got that taken care of. Right? I mean, what's the first thing a teacher thinks of is I got to do my subnotes if I'm going to be out.
Yeah. So. I love it. I love everything about that. Wow. I know that in that moment, first off, I'm so glad that you just, it made me feel a certain way when you talked about how heroic your son was and just the quick thinking to call 911 and get assistance for his father that he loves. I mean, I know that in that specific moment that was very, you know, traumatizing for him.
Yeah.
I guess, how's he doing these days?
He's doing good.
Okay.
He's good. He's a sophomore now, so he's got his license. So, of course, he thinks he owns the world, but he's doing really well.
Yeah. All right. So it's Heart Health Month. That is a thing for the entire month of February. You are friends with my friend. We share a mutual friendship with Tina Rexing, and you guys have wanted to bring awareness to it. And I mentioned earlier that Tina unfortunately lost her brother Carlos to a heart issue. I want to say it was about 3 or 4 years ago now. It's been at least 3 years. But talk about how you know Tina and how you got to the place of wanting to do a cookie.
Yeah, well, so I got to know Tina when her oldest son was walking through the hallways of Rosemont High School. And it was in the beginning of kind of her, I believe it was in the beginning of her business that she had started, the T-Rex cookies.
Yep.
And I got a sample, and I'm like, this is a great story. How fun is this? Come speak to my class. And she's been a regular fixture speaking to my marketing and business classes forever. And
Luke, I mean, the boys love golf. They're golfers.
Yeah.
And you said you've coached
the girls golf.
The girls golf, yeah.
An assistant.
So has there been some symmetry there in terms of like the whole golf thing?
Never played golf
really?
With them. I mean, okay. I think they would both probably destroy me. I'm really good at putting golf balls in the woods. They hit more fairways.
The boys are really good.
Yeah,
they really are.
Yes, they are.
They're really good. All right. So tell us a little bit about the cookie.
So I got a call from or an email from one of Tina's managers saying, hey, we want to do a cookie and all this stuff. Would you want to do it? I'm like, sure, that'd be fun.
Yep.
I don't bake, but I'm like, I'll gladly come up with some ideas. So we came up with some ideas. And they asked, what kind of charity do you want to go towards? I'm like, well, sudden cardiac arrest. That would be the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation. That would be the one to go to. And, we just kind of made it and had some fun. And it's basically a chocolate chip cherry and almond.
Oh, okay.
Cookie.
I think I've seen her post about
this.
Yes, okay.
It's those swirl ones that you see on the
okay.
Instagram. So
yep.
Really, really neat and kind of fun there. And it's delicious. I can say I've had one bite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really allowed to have that stuff anymore.
Yeah,
so,
and you acknowledged that before we came on the air. You said you've made some restrictions lifestyle-wise in terms of diet with regards to what you're eating and not eating.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the Mediterranean. I call it Mediterranean Plus, but it's been good, you know. And the fact that I'm here to be able to joke about it is a good thing.
Yeah, it's not only a good thing, it's a great thing. Let me read something here from the story when it took place, when your incident took place and you were recovering, that I want to share with you. From the website Bring Me the News.
Mm-hmm.
The Farmington Youth Hockey Association shared a Facebook post expressing its appreciation for Mr. Harrison and urging the community to help support his family. Mr. Harrison has devoted an incredible amount of time to all FYHA players, and now he and his family need our help. And then we're starting today through Sunday, December the 17th, that they were going to be matching donations. That just says, I think, so much about you and what you mean to the community that they went out of their way to say, we want to help give back to you. Another quote from the fundraiser, it reads, it says, he constantly gives to others. It is now time to help him and his family at this very stressful time. And of course, as a teacher, I appreciate you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. How does that make you feel when I read that? Probably, you know, I mean, beyond great. It probably makes you feel like you're loved.
Yeah, you know, and I think that was probably one of the biggest eye-openers for me, is because when you're a teacher, you're a coach, you're just in the trenches, your nose down, you just grind, and you just, you know, you just go, and you don't realize that how many people out there love and care for you. Yeah. I mean, I think that's everybody.
Yep.
You know, we're kind of in that society where it's tough, right? You open your email and you get bashed and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And there's just more people in your corner, yep, than you realize. And you're more loved and cared for than you realize. And it was really heartwarming. And it was really actually emotional for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't have that perspective, you know, before. But it was so warming. And that's probably an understatement on the way I felt.
How many years have you been at Rosemont?
I think this is 25 or 26.
Mm. 25 or 26. That's and for the people out there listening, when you said DECA, describe what DECA is a little bit.
DECA is it's a student organization for students interested in pursuing a career in marketing, management, hospitality, entrepreneurship, finance. They do everything from create business plans to job interview skills to situational interview skills.
That's awesome.
In a 30,000 foot level, but yeah.
There is something really important. And once again, we're talking to Ryan Harrison, business teacher at Rosemont High School here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO, who suffered a massive heart attack December 10th of 2023 and recovered nicely, back teaching, raising awareness for Heart Health Month, and has a cookie right now with T-Rex cookies. There is something that we have to talk about here in closing, though, that people should be aware of. And you mentioned it because I asked the question prior to the show about, did you have any symptoms? And there was something interesting that you brought up.
Yeah, I get that question actually a lot. And the symptoms, I don't recall any symptoms.
Okay.
However, in retrospect, I was taking Tums maybe two or three times a night.
Mm.
And you know, I wasn't super unhealthy. I wasn't a couch potato, and I you know, I definitely wasn't Jack LaLanne. You know, yeah. I was not on those extremes.
I love that reference,
right?
Yeah.
but I would take Tums two or three times a night. I just not a night, a week.
Okay.
And I would kind of attest it to basically, you know, I had one too many salty things or one too many sugary things or one too many, yep, fatty things.
Yep.
And come to find out that actually was a warning, a possible warning sign of a heart issue that I didn't know until after the fact. And we kind of looked at it there. So,
And I'm glad that you mentioned that on the airwaves so that people out there that may be doing that may be thinking and just kind of and not really understanding that possibly could be a symptom. I want them to know that and hear it from you. And I say that because when you told me that earlier before the show, it made me feel a certain way because in retrospect, those were some of the symptoms and some of the things in terms of the antacid use and stuff that the beloved Dark Star had before he died. I know that we talk about looking back to when he passed away, that June, and you know the news reports that you know he was found in his apartment near Ridgedale and Minnetonka and all that. But you know, I was somebody that spent a good amount of time with Dark in the press box at Canterbury Park. He even joined me on the radio several times when I was previously at KFAN, and after he had left WCCO and kind of his time had ended here, you know, he would pop up on the radio over at KFAN, and I knew that was something that, you know, Doctor's kind of one of those old guys, kind of like, you know, put some dirt on it and just rub it, we're good to go. And you just don't, like, what you don't know is what you don't know. So you kind of talking about that and expressing that, I think, is something that we should all know about because maybe that'll save somebody's lives. Maybe somebody that's kind of dealing with something right now and they're saying, you know, I just pop a couple of Tums or NISs because I just, you know, I'm a little bit off right now and this is what I think it is. It's probably a symptom of something deeper.
Right. And, you know, just I think we there's always a news story on that. And if something feels a little off and if you think it's more than just a little ache or a little pain, definitely, yeah, take a look into it. Get it checked out, you know. And again, there's more warning signs out there than what you realize, besides the obvious, right? What the obvious is the numbness in the left arm, right? The chest pain, all that stuff. I had no idea the whole—
Because you just didn't have any of that knowing.
No, right. And the weird thing is since my incident, now well over a year, I haven't— – and I eat jalapenos 2 to 4 times
a week.
You like
spicy food, yeah.
Because I can't have salt, so I got to flavor it some other way. But I don't— – I haven't had any Tums and needed any antacid or haven't had any indigestion since then. So that really makes me to believe that, and I would have never connected the dots.
Yeah. Man, I'm just so happy for you, you know, first off, that you're healthy, that you're there for your son, that you're there for your loved ones, for your wife, and things are going extremely well. If there's one thing that you want to leave with the listening audience about your journey and everything that you've been through, what would that be?
One or two.
We got a minute. We got a minute. Officially a minute.
Learn CPR. Learn CPR. If it wasn't for the quick actions of the bystanders of the CPR and the AED, I wouldn't be able to be here right now. It's so important. And that's what the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation goes and supports. They want that to be there. And then I'll go back to the other one is you are more loved and cared about than you realize. And don't make a tragic event be something that's why people know that you love or care about them. Tell them every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, that's awesome, man. It's a perfect way to end the interview. Ryan Harrison, business teacher at Rosemont High School. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Absolutely. All right, coming up next, the Leave story, looking back to a year ago. There's going to be a charity and a fundraiser coming up this week with regards to looking back and remembering those cops and firefighters. Wes Peterson, chaplain, chair of Llano Lakes Public Safety. We'll talk about that event coming up next.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.